Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, it feels like we're sitting in a Hallmark Christmas movie right now.
We're doing the Andy Williams special right here.
We are surrounded by nutcrackers, a fireplace, a crackling fireplace. We had to move a bearskin rug in order to put our table where it needs to be, or at least a faux bearskin rug.
A mini moose.
A Santa right behind us, a mini moose, Christmas trees, and it feels very festive. So I'm really glad we started off with that.
What day is it? Oh, it's only not even Halloween. I'm ready, though.
But don't worry.
No.
It's a good time to get in the Christmas spirit. We'll talk about what all that means shortly.
By the way, have you met Buzz Lightyear?
Our production guy on scene has buzzed his hair. His beard is now the same length as the hair on the top of his head.
He's going for Wolverine.
He just goes with one thing and he circles the whole thing. That's called time saving. That's a Flo-bee.
Remember the Flo-bee?
I do.
That was the coolest thing ever.
Wayne's World had the
suck
cut.
You know who uses the Flo-bee? George Clooney.
Well, George Clooney can
the
get
prettiest man
just
alive.
About anything. Yeah. And that's just how it is for people who look like that.
Well.
Or Steve.
Oh, no, yeah.
People who look like Steve can get away with a lot of things,
sure,
too.
Sure, sure.
But, well, we're at the movie show today. We're live from NPS, and we'll be talking with Julie and Igor and talking about the great deals that are here. But, Steve, we got a lot of things this week.
What? I don't remember seeing anything this week.
There's a few things, and there are some that may surprise you at how much it surprised
Milli
me
Vanilli.
How much. Yes, I'm gonna sell Milli Vanilli until everyone I know is watching.
Somebody told me the other day. They said I'm gonna have somebody else write my review for Milli Vanilli. How about that?
Oh wow, that's so funny,
brilliant.
So clever. Well, as long as Frank Farian puts you up to it, then don't blame Robin Fab.
Okay, you just said two words.
You didn't see Milli Vanilli, obviously.
No, out of the 28 things that we needed to watch this week, I missed one.
Okay, well,
I figured you are all millied vanillied up.
Seriously, I have been telling everybody that I can about this. That's how much I liked it.
You might want to slow that one down a little
bit. No, I'm serious. It's so good. Okay, how about we start with the movie show preview, because we've got more than Milli Vanilli. The movie show preview, sponsored by Call Climate Services.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
The movie show, special feature.
So other than Milli Vanilli, there are things to watch this week.
What?
The big movie being a movie based on a video game series called Five Nights at Freddy's.
You know, I didn't mention that in my review. One, because those who know it already, you know, they're like,
they know it already.
Those who don't care.
That's probably true.
I think that's accurate. So I didn't put it in my review.
That's okay. Well, we'll mention it here on the movie show because we know that everyone consumes anything we do in any format. I'm sure everyone immediately watches KSL News at 12:30 to see me out of breath as I run on set.
You're on KSL News at 12:30?
The TV, yeah. And then they go to KSLNewsRadio.com to read your more in-depth reviews that you've got up, including your letter grade, in case you missed the letter grade that Steve gives it.
I'm
going to
stop putting
them
on there. You know why? Because they need to find out here.
Oh.
Yeah?
But what if they miss the show?
Well, then I'll put it on later.
Ah, okay. So a timed release.
Literally don't know how to do that.
Like a dosage that releases later.
Well, I just don't want them to see, you know, hey, I hated this movie, and, you know,
then
with a big
actually
letter on
read
it.
Why.
Exactly. There's a reason for everything, folks.
Well, welcome to the world of the internet, Steve, where there's 1,000 people with 1,000
website,
different ways.
By the way.
I know. But 1,000 people with 1,000 different ways of how they take their information.
I'm sure they'll yell at me.
So Five Nights at Freddy's is the big movie of the week. We've also got Freelance. Were you able to get to that one?
I was.
I wanted to, and then my wife got sick and I had to go pick my daughter up from gymnastics.
Oh,
that's actually one I wanted to see.
I'll get your homework.
Well, John Cena and Alison Brie.
You may have dodged one there.
Well, I have a feeling on that one. After Death. From Angel Studios.
Yes. I was intrigued by this film. I'm glad that they covered all the aspects. You know, like, well, what if you...
What if it wasn't so great?
Yeah, what if the light wasn't shining, but it was like a train coming or whatever?
And we will be talking to the director of After Death in the 11 and the 10 o'clock hour,
Stephen Gray. Yeah.
Yes. So for those of you who enjoy the content that comes out of Angel Studios, we'll be talking with the director of After Death. And then The Mission.
The Mission. Wow. This is a tragically interesting story. Young man who wants to, you know, make sure that everyone on the planet hears about Jesus. So he goes to an island that's forbidden by the government of India. You can't go there because they don't want you there.
They don't want missionaries. They don't want
Don't want anybody, any outsiders. So when he comes up with the Bible, well, that's not going to go well. And he's yelling at them in a language they don't understand. How does that work? Not well.
Hoping to speak in tongues, maybe?
Hmm.
Well, we'll find out how that turned out when
yes,
we hear the
we
review. Then on streaming, we have the movie Pain Hustlers on Netflix.
This was a conflicted movie for me, mainly because it started out so cool and fun, you know, like, hey, we're making money, and then all of a sudden, whoa, people are dying. It felt like Wolf of Wall Street, only you're not just losing your money, you're losing your life.
Yes, it was. It kind of jars in some spots.
Yeah.
Like, you're not sure what kind of movie you're watching. And it's directed by David Yates, who did the three Fantastic Beasts movies and the Harry Potter
four
franchise.
Harry Potter movies.
And he did, that's right, he did one of the Harry Potters also.
No, he did four of them.
He did four of the Harry Potters and the three Fantastic
yes.
Beasts?
He's deep into J.K.
No kidding. No wonder he wanted to do something else.
Yeah, no, he was actually thrilled about this. He was, I got to go out in daylight where there were people and things. So that was
and not buried under the cloak of secrecy. And then, of course, Milli Vanilli on Paramount Plus, which I will gush about later in the show.
Oh, boy.
The Gilded Age is getting a second season on HBO. Did you get to watch?
I did. I watched the first episode. I'm like, oh, no. They were like having an opera war and some lady starts singing. And like, I am about to fall asleep. But then episode two, like, all right, now let's party. So Gilded Age, if you saw the first season, it's sort of like Downton Abbey, only in America.
Only with rich Americans instead of rich British.
Yeah, and they are vicious. They might wear those little doily things and everything all buttoned up, but man, they'll get you.
They got knives hidden under them cravats.
It would seem. But they're all very genteel about it, you know. I will gut you, and you're going to love it.
You're going to love it. I promise you I won't. And then we've got the Enfield Poltergeist on Apple TV+.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
And then Curses on Apple TV Plus, which you did you get to see any
I
of
I did.
It?
I saw the first two or three.
Yeah, cartoon.
Yeah.
Family that's
actually
cursed.
Like the first episode. Then it kind of gets like, oh, let's go return the monkey.
It becomes a thing of the week.
Yeah.
Although thankfully all the episodes drop, so it's just a thing of the half hour.
Yeah. No, but you know, I didn't realize that. What's his face? John Krasinski was executive producer on this.
Yes, and then I wanted to say there was somebody else. Like this was, I mean, it's from DreamWorks Animation, so you're getting a little bit better quality than some of the animated things we've talked about.
True.
We've got all that, plus telephone torture. We've got our text question of the week, which is, what is your favorite movie to watch on Halloween night? Text your answer to 57500.
Is that before the Halloween candy or during or after?
I will leave that up to your private interpretation.
Okay. Because I have different movies depending.
Yippee-ki-yay, Melon Farmer.
Yippee-ki-yay, Melon Farmer.
Where is that from?
That's from Die Hard, the TV edit.
Oh, no. Melon Farmer?
Yeah. Oh. There was one that was Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
God. Perfectly good,
good
movie.
But we've got all that and much, much more here on the movie show today.
And now, the big movie review. Andy and Steve have everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
And the biggest release of the week is Universal's Five Nights at Freddy's.
They shut it down years ago. The owner's just not ready to let it go yet.
I will work and you will sleep.
I understand.
All you have to do is keep your eyes on the monitor.
We must be new security guard.
Can I help you, officer?
Have you met them yet?
Met who?
Them. In the 80s, kids went missing. The police searched Freddy's top to bottom.
Hello?
They never found them.
So that's a pretty good setup, those clips right
there.
Yeah,
pretty much nailed
everything. What's going on? It's based on a series of survival video games released in the mid-2010s. the hook for this video game series is that, and now the movie, is that surviving each night working as a security guard at an abandoned Chuck E. Cheese-looking pizza place called Freddy Fazbear.
I'm sure Chuck E. Cheese appreciates you saying their name.
Well, okay, but I mean, but that's what you're going to think. There's another one. They split off from Chuck E. Cheese, like Adventure Time Pizza or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
I didn't even know there was another one.
I mean, I don't think of Chuck E. Cheese as a brand as so much as a thing you went to do. You had pizza, you had video games, you had games. I mean, a Nickel Cade's basically a pizzeria with a Chuck E. Cheese's. Without the pizza, you have to bring it yourself. But
or the ball pit always made me nervous. What can you find in there?
Yeah, well, apparently you can find kids in there sometimes. But Five Nights at Freddy's is a security guard has to survive. And that's what it's from the line, can you survive Five Nights at Freddy's?
So it's like a test?
It's part of a line. Well, yeah, that's the game. Is you're a security guard who has to survive with these animatronic puppets that may or may not be alive or may or may not want to kill you. So that's the premise of the video game. And while that's what the movie is designed around and what most people are excited to see, it's a lot, at least the movie version's kind of different than that. I mean, there's a lot more going on than that.
Oh, there's backstory. Yeah. There's other people involved. Yes.
And so into this, you've got Mike Schmidt, who is played by Josh Hutcherson from Hunger Games. He's a legal guardian of his little sister. And
which the age thing is a little weird there. He's 30-something and she's 10.
Well,
should have been his daughter. Why couldn't it have been his daughter?
Because it's different. I don't know. It could have been his daughter, I guess.
That threw me off.
No, but then it wouldn't be, because then the whole thing with the custody with Mary Stuart Masterson, the aunt, wanting custody. It's easier to take custody of your younger sibling who you're a guardian over versus trying to take your kid away from you just because you can't hold a job. So
yeah, okay, that checks out.
Probably for that, I would guess, for that reason. So at any rate, Mike takes the job, and he finds out that there's more to working at Freddy Fazbear's than meets the eye initially.
And that nice little police lady, boy, does she have nothing else to do but come around to the place and check on him?
Well, you know, when you look like Josh Hutcherson, you know, you attract the attractive female detectives in your small town.
Oh.
Or, actually, she's not really a detective. She's more of like a beat cop. But, yeah, so that's the premise of Five Nights at Freddy's. I don't want to – there's a lot of different twists and turns and things that I don't really want to set up or give away. I'll let you see the movie to do that. But what were your thoughts?
Didn't care for it. I thought it was not scary. I thought it was kind of dumb. I thought they kept doing dumb things. And I kept waiting for these – I know it's PG-13, so they couldn't actually show any of the, you know, but in your own mind, you kind of imagined what was happening.
I felt like it was closer to R than PG-13 watching it. Just the only thing it was missing was the actual blood, and that's usually what pushes something into R territory. But as far as, like, people dying in terrible ways, and, you know, I just feel like when people look at a PG-13 rating for a movie like this, they think, oh, okay. Maybe my 10 or maybe my 8-year-old could come see this. And I say no way. Like, I ended up sitting in the seats of, was it one of our colleagues that brought their kid?
Oh,
and the kid
was
freaked out by just the still shot of the animatronic animals.
Well, that was pretty creepy.
Right.
With the sound that was.
And then he said, nope, I can't do this, Dad. And his dad had to take him. It was she. Okay. Yeah. But that makes sense. Like, I took my 19-year-old, and she spent half the movie going, I hate this, I hate this. No, I kind of like it. No, I hate this.
No, but Sydney, she's seen everything. She thought that it was a Freddy Krueger movie, and she was disappointed.
Really?
But then when she saw those weird things on the screen and the noise, she freaked and said, I'm out.
Wow.
So that's how you ended up getting the best seats in the house.
I got some good center seats. But as far as I went, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the horror-type movies, but I thought this had at least some cleverness to it. But then, again, once it got to some of the deaths, I was like, whoa! And then what? You know, I realized that they were following some of the video game storyline now that I read up on it after the fact. I didn't know anything about Five Nights at Freddy's going into the movie. Mm-hmm. But some of it made a little more sense, but it's really icky.
Well, yeah, when you see...
why the puppets move the way they do?
Yeah.
Way ickier than you think.
Exactly. I thought, wait a minute, are you telling me that this is all, you know, whatever this is?
And I thought,
what? That is massively disturbing.
And when it got to that point, that's where I was like, for the themes alone, I wouldn't want my 11, 10-year-old. And there's a whole thing where, you know, Mike is reliving the kidnapping of his younger brother that happened when he was much younger. And so there's all this going on. And for me, it was just kind of like a whole lot of things. And I felt like when it was done, I had more questions than answers. And I don't know if that's to set up a sequel, but I thought, if you're going to introduce this to people who haven't played the game, I feel very, like, not sure what's going on, even when the movie ends. And I don't think that's a good way to end a movie like
that. Well, I realized that this movie was not made for me because the screaming kids around me were all having the time of their life. And, in fact, when you know what's going to happen towards the end, and they all like, what? Like, oh, my, how stupid are you? Only four people have been introduced in this movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good
point. I laughed my tail off. They're like, oh, did you see that coming? I did not see that coming. I'm like, shut up.
Okay, but that also highlights what to me is the most enjoyable part of this, which is watch this with as many people as possible, not because you'll be too scared watching it by yourself. Maybe you will. But it's way more fun. There's some movies where you don't want anyone in the theater to talk around you. A Quiet Place. Killers of the Flower Moon, you don't want somebody carrying on conversations or talking at the screen. But this is one where being in a room full of people who are surprised by things that you can't believe they're surprised by, or anytime there's a jump scare, you hear somebody like audibly jump. That's fun. And so if you're going to watch it on Peacock, because it's going on both to theaters and to Peacock, it's already there on Peacock.
Which is dumb.
Yeah, I feel like it still made $10 million in previews last night, even though you could have watched it on Peacock.
Well, I think people want to see a horror movie on the big screen.
Yeah, and this is one that is way more fun to watch in groups. You gave it a...
I gave it a C- because for me, it didn't work at all. But for the kids that were there, the teens and the 20-somethings, they had a blast. So for them, yes, go.
And I had a 2 out of 4, but I'm not a video. I didn't play this game, so it may be higher for people who are fans of the franchise. So that is Five Nights at Freddy's, and that is our big movie of the week here on The Movie Show.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real. On KSL News Radio.
It's real.
What?
The laugh.
Oh.
From Guardians. All right. Well, Steve, before we get into our next movie review, we do want to make sure that we mention our great sponsor of the big movie review, Paris RV, who is blowing out all their 2023 inventory to make room for the 2024s. Take a look at ParisRV.com to see some styles and then go on in and check it out.
Plus, they carry like 26 different brands. So if you can't find it there, you're not looking in the right place.
Yeah. So thanks to Paris RV for sponsoring the big movie review, which was Five Nights at Freddy's, which I didn't hate, but I didn't love, and you were much more on the dislike.
It didn't work for me, but it did work. I could see it working for mindless teenagers.
Movie poster art. Mindless teenagers will love it, Steve Sales.
This is exactly it.
All right, well, let's review another movie here then. Let's do Freeland. Oh, sorry, I talked over that, Gustavo. We got to hear that. That's a mindless teenager.
Oh.
Thanks, Gustavo. All right, now let's play a clip from Freelance.
I'm running a business, and right now that business is getting a journalist in and out of Paldonia.
No.
It's a one-off.
No, no, and no. Madison.
20 grand, says you are.
Your one-man security detail happened. He's a hero.
I'm with the president of a country in the middle of a coup. This is the scoop of a lifetime.
You gotta be alive to have a scoop for a lifetime.
It's a great point made by John Cena to journalist Allison Brie.
Thank you for making this much better than it actually is as far as the movie goes.
Okay, so but before you talk about it, I saw the trailer, and I thought it looked hilarious.
Yes, that's how trailers work.
Right, no, and I didn't know anything about it. There wasn't like a ton of advanced publicity up to, you know, a couple months ago when the trailer hit. So I was like, oh, I haven't even heard of this movie. I like Allison Brie. I think John Cena can be entertaining. Christian Slater, I heard in the clip. Always, he's got a great voice. But... Then I saw the trailer and thought, this is funny. I'm looking forward to this. Then its release date got moved. And then I knew it was supposed to come out today, and it didn't hear anything, you know, through the usual critic channel. So I emailed the studio, and I was like, hey, are you guys doing a screen? No. I was like, well, I mean, I could watch a screener. No. And I said, okay, so if the trailer was that funny and the studio's going to that great length not to let me watch it, I bet I saw all the funny stuff in the trailer.
Ooh, that's pretty close. Although, the best thing about this movie is the president of the Polonia country that they made up in South America. He's all involved in... Basically, they get there. She's supposed to interview the president. He never does interviews, so it's
And John Cena is there as the security detail.
Yeah, he was in the special forces, and then he got hurt. He was a lawyer, then he wasn't, then he went back to being a lawyer, and then Christian Slater says, hey, you don't like this. Come do this.
No, he says, you don't like this.
You come do this milk run. It's a piece of cake. You go, you just watch this reporter, make sure she's safe in this completely nuts country, and you know, that she's safe from this presidente. But there's a coup taking place, and they try to kill the presidente. And his only responsibility is Alison Brie, and so they leave the poor guy. He's like, wait, what about me? And he's wearing this bright white double-breasted suit, and
so really camouflaged.
It never looks dirty, ever. I mean, they're running through the jungles, they're flying around, and he's like, oh, don't leave me, you know? And he turns out to be really funny, and you think he's corrupt, but he might not be. That's the best thing about the movie. The rest of it is so dumb.
Is it funny?
Well, there's no.
Really?
No, it's not. I thought they.
Does Alison Brie look good?
Yes, of course she looks.
I've liked her since Community.
Yeah, but it's weird. I didn't think she worked as a journalist, but then as the sexy, you know, running through the jungle lady, it felt like she was like a little sister kind of thing. Although she's, you know, cute looking and everything, but I don't mean to get weird. But the star of the show is the presidente. He made this movie like watchable.
So it goes from just being a two-person protection to now they're having to take care of this presidente.
Oh, he doesn't want to at all. In fact, he has a thing against the presidente because something happened while he was in special forces when they happened to be in Polonia before, and he thinks that the president is a bad guy. So it's so basic, it's frightening, it's a C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you gave it a better grade than you did Five Nights.
Yeah, barely.
Wow. Do you think that if you'd had a couple more days to think about it instead of having to go see it last night, that you might go lower?
Probably.
Okay.
Although
and
I
here, folks, is the lesson why studios do not screen it for critics, because they're going to try to get as much money out of this weekend as they can.
All right, let me just point out to you, I went to the 4 o'clock screening yesterday. There were three of us in, and one of us left.
One of us left or
no,
one of
I
them
stayed.
Left?
He left, and he didn't come back for a long time. I thought, where did he go? Did he go see another movie? Because that's crazy.
Well, I did want to just, and if it was bad, it was bad, but I really wanted to see if it had anything funny besides what was in the trailer, and I was afraid that that was going to be the case.
The Presidente steals the movie what there is to be stolen.
Okay, so this is one where if you really want to see it, maybe wait till streaming.
Yeah, I would.
Because it'll be there soon.
It'll be there tomorrow.
And that is Freelance, and it is rated, I believe it's rated R.
I think it is rated R. There's a lot of bullet shots and whatnot.
Okay. And that is playing in wide release, although you'd never know it from the amount of commercials you've seen.
That's what studios do. If it's really good, they like don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
That's how that works. Okay. So that is our review of Freelance.
Should have been called Free Fall.
We're going to have some movie news in our next segment. We're actually going to have time for it this week.
Maybe if they actually called it Free, people would go.
Free Freelance.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, you'll have to pay for it right now.
That's right.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news. Action! On the KSL Movie Show.
All right, Steve, it's time for movie news. And, of course, the latest update on the strike is it's still going on with the studios. But good news, they deliberated at least an extra day on one proposal. So when they reject it today, at least they gave it another chance.
Well, they said that we're going to stay on strike because we'd rather do that than take a bad deal.
Well, that was a few high-profile names who said that to the leadership.
Oh, the ones who are making millions of dollars?
Exactly.
Sarah Paulson. Well, they're meeting again today, so
but yes,
hopefully.
No, but there was some optimism because the initial proposal was poorly received, but then they said before we sit back down, we wanted to take another day to look at that, so that supposedly
I thought they were close. That's
hope.
The thing that...
Well, and I hope they are, because we can't wait forever before we're going to lose the broadcast TV season, and we're already seeing calendars. We just found out that Mission Impossible 8 has been moved into 2025 now instead of next year.
I saw that.
And the longer this goes, the longer those big ones that haven't gotten far enough in the production process are going to get delayed by big times again, because they're not just going to be like, oh, well, it's only going to take us an extra month to finish Mission Impossible 8, so we'll just have it be the next month after it was supposed to. No. They plan all this out. They wanted it this weekend. They want it right before Thanksgiving. They want it right before Christmas. They want it when it's primed to make the maximum dollars. They're not just going to shuffle it until, like, August.
And they need the actors to promote it. That's big key.
That's what's gotten a lot moved off of this year's calendar. Or, you know, I feel like maybe we would have had more about Freelance if both Alison Brie and John Cena were on the talk shows promoting it
that's
and they
true.
Were showing clips. Yeah. So, yeah, that's where we're kind of sitting at. is the idea that we're not finding out about things that we might have found out about before.
And then I kind of was sad to see that Richard Roundtree had passed away, the guy that played the original Shaft.
Yes, dang it. We should have found the sound clip.
Did it? I have the soundtrack of
Shaft.
Isaac Hayes.
Can you dig
it? Tahoe. I love that album. And then Sylvester Stallone has signed to play Samaritan 2. Now, I don't know if you recall Samaritan 1.
Oh, yes. That was the straight release to Paramount. It was like a superhero story.
Well, was it straight to Paramount Plus?
Yeah. Yeah, it was during the pandemic, I want to say.
Yeah, is a kid in the neighborhood. He lives in this big city, and he's kind of retired, and he doesn't do superhero stuff anymore. But this kid goes, man, that guy, he reminds me of somebody. And so he's signed up to do a second one. And the first one is on Amazon.
Oh, it's on Amazon. That's what it was. Okay, it was straight to Prime Video. Okay.
So, he's signed up to do it. The guy that wrote the original one is going to redo it. He's going to write the second one, so as soon as the strike is over, well, maybe we'll get another, hey, Adrian, I did it.
You know, it wasn't the worst, but it also was like, if I remember right, did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, for its big reveal, it was not a very big reveal. Like, I thought that was kind of a predictable, but it was at least a good effort, and it was a superhero, somebody you'd never heard of. It was like, what if there was a superhero that was sort of like Thor in Detroit?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a rundown version of Detroit.
Well, people liked it, though. It ended up being number one on Amazon for a week, and, 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. It did like 72%
for audience score.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that just says another one of those critics don't know what the heck they're talking about. But we do, right?
Steve, is somebody, well, we know, because sure. We know things. That's why people look to us as trusted source.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. We just hope people see things similar to the way we do. You know, that's part of the fun of, you hear what we say, you go see it for yourself, and then you say, okay, I don't agree with anything they say, or I agree with most of what they say, and then either way, we can help you. If we like it, you know you're going to hate it. And if we,
speaking of which, when we did the show with the Taylor Swift group,
yeah,
there's somebody, Andrea came up to me from Payson and was asking about the Flora and Son movie.
Yeah.
Okay. It is now on Apple TV Plus, Andrea,
yes.
If you want to see it. She was worried because she lived in Payson. She wasn't able to get up to Salt Lake in time to see it. And she wondered where she could see it.
The one with Eve Hewson?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So, Andrea, I think I got her name right. She was really very cool. She goes, I love you guys. You guys do great work. So, I was very happy to meet her, and that was very cool.
I was going to say, you're a critic who's also very funny. And it's funny when, like, you're allowed to, like, say things when you're watching a movie. So I think you're funny like that. But have you ever heard of Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Of course.
Just making sure. Well, the original creator, Joel Hodgson, wants to get it going once again. I think they're looking for a little crowdfunding this time. But there could be more MST3K.
I met him or some of his people at one of the con things.
Oh, okay. But anyway, that was the last thing for movie news, which was make more MST3K, which is the hashtag going around on social media so you can see the updates.
Talk about plenty of stuff to work with.
They could work with modern stuff, too. So that is movie news here on The Movie Show.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Well, Steve, we've got a movie coming out today from Angel Studios called After Death, and we're going to talk about it later in the show. But we're pleased right now to welcome the director of After Death, Stephen Gray. Stephen Gray, a Canadian. Hey?
Oh, boy.
Good. A lot of good stuff coming out of Canada. I'm sure he'll agree with us. But this film, After Death, explores one of life's biggest mysteries, what happens when we die. In the film, you'll meet some New York Times bestselling authors, doctors, scientists, and survivors. And Stephen, welcome to the movie show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me here.
Big day for you today.
It's a very big day. Yeah, very excited.
After Death goes to wide release. So for those who are After Death sounds like it could be an action movie title, but in this case, no. It's about... After Death. Comes the, but in this case, we're actually talking about people who've had NDEs, which are near-death experiences. So my first question is, what actually drew you to the subject matter of near-death experiences?
Yeah, well, the reason why I kind of explored this topic was it was actually born out of loss. So in 2012, my brother-in-law was struck by a drunk driver and was killed at the scene. And so that kind of caused me to ask questions about, you know, the reality of life after. And I wasn't sure really what I believed at the time, if someone does go on or not. And so as I started to struggle with that, I came across these stories of people who had clinically died for a period of time, had these, you know, profound experiences, and then came back. And after about 30 books, which included 5 New York Times best-selling authors, which we also include in the movie After Death, I was hooked. And I thought there was something really interesting about sort of this chorus of stories. I think it's one thing about it's something for you know, interesting about one person's account, you know, but it's, you have to take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, when you have over 4,000 recorded accounts from across the globe, I mean, that becomes hard to ignore.
Well, it's interesting, too, that you say that, because one of the things you point out in the movie is the surprise that over, you know, 4,000 accounts over such a wide variety of locations and people who don't know each other, and that there were so many striking similarities in the things that they talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, like the question of what happens after we die is something that, you know, everyone has to ask at some point. The unfortunate thing with, you know, humans is, we're all going to die. And again, for me, it's like that became all too clear after the loss I had gone through. But everyone's going to have to face that at some point. So that's when we openly handed, you know, asked that question and started exploring that with this film. And like you say, you know, these experiences are happening across the globe, and it doesn't seem to, you know, it's not directly impacted by their culture or upbringing or sort of like what's being, you know, taught to them and their view of what the afterlife is, or you know, the kind of common kind of real, or, you know, painted idea of what that might be. Their experiences are, you know, regardless of what they believe, or even if they have a belief in the afterlife, seem to almost perfectly overlap.
You know, that's one of the things I liked about this film, was that you opened it up, and one of your scientists just flat out said, well, I think it's hogwash. And I thought, well, you know, that's good to have that perspective. They can't all just be funneled into the one narrative. And you had several different people with very different ideologies. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and I mean, not everyone that's included in the film, you know, believes in life after. You know, Dr. Zamar, who had this, you know, profound, you know, case that came out in 2022, it broke, made headlines in the science community, and I think mainstream news all around the world. It was the recording of the first recording of the dying human brain under
EEG,
kind of a clinical environment. Yeah. So, and it just kind of opens the question, you know, what is the point of death? Like, at what point do we declare death? And so the film kind of cracks that open, but it also opens up, you know, the spiritual side, you know, the things that people are seeing and experiencing, you know, and they commonly describe coming across a, basically a barrier, and they know that if they cross this barrier, they cannot come back into their body. And so, and you know, we're kind of, you know, exploring that threshold of death and what does that look like.
Stephen, in the movie, the people mention how difficult it is to describe something that there's really no description for. Like, how would somebody describe color to someone who lives in a world of black and white? So with that difficulty in mind, tell us a little bit about the process of deciding how to visually represent these descriptions on screen.
Yeah, I mean, it was daunting, both visually, but even musically and sonically. So it's something that we attempted to explore both, you know, visually in terms of, you know, having that cinematic experience and bringing us there, but even with the music and sound design, it's intentional to kind of try and bring us there as best we could. I always thought as a little kid, you know, as I would look up at the stars and see, you know, the moon and the stars and galaxies out there, and I always wonder about, you know, creation and what is that above us, right? Like, we feel so small, I think, when we look into deep space and seeing that we're just this small little speck in this massive universe. And that's kind of always caused me to kind of, you know, think a little bit more about, you know, the heavens and all that. And so we kind of try to ground some of the visuals of what people experienced in this otherworldly environment in some of the visuals of what we would see in sort of interstellar space, you know, which some of it is based off of imagery that we would get from NASA. and then others just kind of, again, kind of creative interpretations. One of the things that we heard commonly from people who would meet God or meet Christ, they would describe him as a man made of light, but would be equivalent to like a thousand burning suns. So, you know, not like we would see in our solar system here, nothing like we can observe in space, but it's like actually almost a bit terrifying. If you were standing before him in flesh, you'd feel like you would be incinerated, but there... they felt like it was this overwhelming invitational love, unconditional love, which they can't experience here on Earth. And so we were inspired by some of what, you know, they were describing and tried to play with things practically in terms of effects with, you know, light and chemical reactions and gold and mixture, kind of mixing up all kinds of different practical elements to kind of create that otherworldly environment.
One of the things I noticed was that the hesitancy of some of these people to even, that they had never talked about this to someone else, that I think for me that led to credibility that, you know, they were hesitant because they thought people were going to think they're nuts.
Yeah. And honestly, probably, you know, before I kind of got into telling these stories, I probably had the idea that, you know, they're writing these books and they're selling so many copies because, you know, they want to, and they want their story to be known and all that. But, you know, as I got closer to these people and started, you know, get to know them, I realized that, no, it's like actually, it's very difficult for them to come forward and talk about because it's full of ridicule. You know, not everyone believes in heaven or that someone could go to this place and experience that and come back. And so they feel very isolated and alone. And yet, again, with 4,000 recorded accounts across the globe, you know, that's a common expression. And many people, even in different languages, feel like there's no language on Earth that is going to be able to, you know, help in trying to relay information in terms of what they experienced. You know, they try as best they can, but they said their words are never going to do it justice.
Well, Stephen Gray, director of After Death, the new movie from Angel Studios that goes out in wide release today. Stephen, thank you for coming on the movie show and sharing that with us. And we wish you best on your movie. And I enjoyed it. And I think that it will be very moving to a lot of people personally.
Thank you. Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited to hear about the impact this film's going to have. I think it's the reason why I created it. And I hope that people kind of get out of it what I got out of it, which kind of, you know, brings me hope. And if anyone's interested in getting tickets, they can go to angel.com/afterdeath. And there you can kind of see your local theater listing.
Okay. After Death, directed by Stephen Gray. Stephen, thanks for being with us on the movie show.
Thank you so much.
The movie show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
And now it is time for our biggest streaming review, sponsored by the Joshua Stern Team. Visit sternteam.com to learn your home's real value in 30 seconds. Click sell, then home evaluation. Steve, our big streaming review is Pain Hustlers.
Yes. Commissions that get you into paradise. Get a doctor to prescribe your drug. You know, we bill on a full dose script.
What?
40 grand.
A year?
A month.
On some level, I knew it was bull.
It's a long odds lottery ticket buried under 1,000 rejections. And you gotta have the grit to reach down and scratch it.
There's nothing so inspiring as sheer desperation.
We're not gonna make 100K this year. It's gonna be more like 600.
All right, so we have Emily Blunt, Chris Evans, and Andy Garcia as these fictional characters that are based on real people who played roles in the opioid epidemic.
Yeah.
And you've got Liza, who's Emily Blunt, a single mother with a teen daughter who has some special health needs, but who's also, like, super smart. And she's basically a gentleman's club dancer when she runs into Chris Evans, who offers her a chance to be a pharma rep because she seems pretty sharp.
Yeah, she deals with customers in a cool way. She's very quick-witted. And she
nails the job, nails it.
I mean, literally shows up the next day, and he's like, what are you doing here? But she charms her way in, and Dr. Neil, who played by Andy Garcia, is a little crazy. And he gets crazier.
Doesn't seem crazy at first.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, he did do the whole chick when he hand sanitized.
He basically turns into a drug kingpin, like in every way, shape, and form by the end of it. And that, but that's what ends up happening is, you know, they find success pushing this cancer pain med to doctors. They just had to convince one doctor, and then they get all the rest. And they, but they're kind of skirting the law by paying the doctor to write these prescriptions,
yeah.
Essentially a kickback. And so they're rolling in the money. The more money they make, the more paranoid Dr. Andy Garcia gets, and the more, well, the less guilty that Chris Evans feels. And Emily Blunt's okay until she starts to see the effect of what's going on with the actual patients, and then she I guess grows a conscience. And this is where the movie kind of lost me, Steve, was like,
well, she didn't stand up for herself, which I thought was weird. You know, she was on the right track. This drug is killing people. You can't do that. And she's like, hey, we got to stop. And yet, you know, she rolled over, and I thought, what are you doing? The other thing is, Chris Evans, you know, you're Captain America. If you've kind of kept that in the back of your head and suddenly you realize, oh, no, this is not him at all. You know, he doesn't want to be typecast. He wants to play different roles. But if you want to keep that Captain America in your head, don't see this movie, because it'll...
He's got a wicked Boston accent.
Yeah, that was weird.
And emphasis on the wicked, because he's not a good guy in this.
No. He's a terrible.
So Pain Hustlers for me was 2 out of 4. What about for you?
It was a B minus. They acted the heck out of this movie.
They did. And Emily Blunt pulled off an American accent to where I forgot she was British. So that's pretty good.
And Catherine O'Hara as her mother was hilarious. So there's a lot going on. But the tone shifts is what really screws this over, because they're having such a good time making all this money. And then you realize people are dying. That's not cool at all. So how do you do that and not resent these characters?
So that's Pain Hustlers on Netflix. You can watch it or not. That's the nice part of watching things on stream.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got Emily Blunt and Chris
Evans. You can quit at any
point
if you don't like it. That's the other part,
too. Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, we got to read off some of these texts that we're getting at 57500. What's the movie you watch Halloween night? Had several votes, no surprise, for Hocus Pocus. We've got several for Beetlejuice.
Oh.
We've got Young Frankenstein. It's got quite a few also. Let's see. So many Hocus Pocus.
By the way, when you compare that to the 31 Frankenstein, it is hilarious to see every scene, and they just look at the scene, and then they shoot their version, and it is brilliant.
Frankenstein, we should say, by the way. And then we've also got The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. That's one that I didn't think of. And then I want to just, my personal Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. I love watching it every Halloween. I sit and answer the door, trick-or-treaters, hit pause, give out the candy, go back to some more Abbott and Costello, and Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney in the original Universal Monsters.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in years, so I'll give it a shot.
So keep the text coming, 57500. Steve will reveal his Halloween night movie next time we talk about this here on The Movie Show.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's The Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
And, of course, The Movie Show Streaming Reviews are sponsored by the Joshua Stern Team. Steve, I want to talk about Milli Vanilli, and we're going to do it now.
Okay, go.
Tell me we have a soundbite. It was a movie. Oh, now I'm hurt. I am hurt, Gustavo.
Maybe somebody can pretend to be Milli Vanilli.
Maybe the thing that I watched this week is a documentary about Milli Vanilli. And, all right, so look.
You're going to have to do a super sales pitch here.
Okay, so it's about that infamous musical group from the late 80s that's best known for winning a Grammy, turning out that they then being forced to give it back when it turned out they actually hadn't sang any songs on their album.
Right.
And it's about Rob Pilatus and Fabrice Morvan. They were actually lip-syncing. And this happened in, like, 1989. And this documentary kind of recounts how they were discovered, what went into the process, how it all played out, and where are they now. Unfortunately, for the where are they now portion, one of them, Rob Pilatus, he died of an overdose in 1998. I mean, this scandal ruined his life. But Fabrice Morvan, they called him Rob and Fab, he's still around, and, I mean, this movie, it's got, let's see here, I listed the things, fascinating, heartbreaking, incredulous, and then ultimately redemptive. I know most people's thoughts are, oh, that's those guys that were lip-syncing. But
they were forced to, weren't they?
See, this is where you got to watch the story to find out. Really, in my opinion, after watching the documentary, the real villain of all this is a guy named Frank Farian, who is a producer. He produced a guy in the 70s named Boney M. Does that name sound familiar?
I'm sorry.
It was, It was kind of a disco thing. He discovers Robin Fab in Germany. Fabrice is a son of Parisians. Rob's the son of an American GI and a German like nightclub dancer, but he was in foster homes this whole time. But what they did have was really nice physiques, and they were good dancers.
Nice hair.
And they figured out, and they even talk about that in the documentary, because they wanted to be famous. Like, this was the thing. They wanted to be famous, and they felt like they could. And everybody has their theories about what happened there because, you know, that happened in 1989, 1990. The information superhighway didn't exist yet. We weren't completely awash in all the stuff that we know now. Okay. But now being able to watch it through a 30-year, you know, looking back, you realize that those guys got blamed for stuff that really wasn't their fault. All the people above them were like, what? They were lip-syncing?
Oh, no.
How could they?
So they got sold out?
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing was, is in the documentary, they even agree, you know, this probably could have gone on forever except for the Grammys. And then you find out that the only reason they got nominated for a Grammy was because their manager, who was like an assistant manager to the big-name talent agency guy that they were employed by, everybody above their immediate manager knew these guys were lip-syncing.
Yeah.
Except, yeah, now we got some Milli Vanilli. Girl, you know it's true. But he didn't know that. They didn't tell the guy right above him. So he's like, I think this album's good enough for Grammy consideration.
Oh.
And he calls up the Academy. He's like, how does somebody get nominated? They said, all you have to do is take your company's letterhead and fax it in and say, we'd like this group to be considered for a Grammy. That's all you have to do. He's like, oh, I can do that. So he did that. And when he did, all the people above him are like, what have you done?
So the masquerade is over.
So then Frank Farian, their manager from Germany, he holds a press conference to say, I can't believe it. These guys have not sung a word on this album.
Oh, no.
And he's the guy that put them up to it. So I'm telling you.
I don't think I need to see it now, do I?
No, you do. Because you need to see the whole thing. It really is. And it's fun to kind of relive. I was 14 when Milli Vanilli was big, so it was a big thing. But I felt lots of different feelings watching this, and most of it was like, if you have an opinion about what you thought of Milli Vanilli, just watch the documentary. I bet it'll change your opinion.
Well, I thought they were a joke, and now I feel like they were taken advantage of.
Yeah, and you'll feel that even more strongly when you watch it. This one's on Paramount Plus. For me, it was like it was just awesome. All right, a couple of other things we wanted to talk about. Streaming Curses, we both watched a little bit of it on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Half-hour animated cartoon from DreamWorks Animation. A family, the dad turns to stone, and the family finds out that they had an evil ancestor who stole a bunch of artifacts.
Yeah.
And they need to go put them back.
Take them back.
If they do that, it'll reverse the curse.
Yeah. The animation is really well done. It has a nice kind of a Halloween feel to it. The perfect time of year.
And it's got all 10 episodes, so it's not one of those weekly have to wait for it. So you can watch the whole thing.
I would definitely watch this.
All right, so that is Curses on Apple TV Plus. And then, Steve, how about The Gilded Age?
The Gilded Age.
Nobody else gets to watch this. You are in the exclusive company because the rest of the regular folk can't watch this till when?
Well, they'll come out each Sunday. So the first one is Sunday, and then there's 8 episodes or 10 or 9 or whatever. The Gilded Age... I used to laugh at the Wrights because they were so into Downton Abbey. And then The Gilded Age came out, and they said, well, maybe we should watch that. So we all kind of watched it, not together, but, you know, we'd compare notes and like, oh, this is actually pretty good. So we ended up enjoying the first season, and I thought, all right, the second season, we'll see. The first episode, it was opera singing, and they were having an opera war, which I couldn't care less about. So I was dozing off in that first episode, but then it picks up. So episode 2, and from here on out, I've seen the first 2 episodes, and I'm going to watch the rest of them because I can.
And so it is. You liked the first season, and season 2's got you right back.
Season 2, the first episode didn't thrill me. Second episode said, yeah, we're back.
Okay, so if this Sunday when you watch the premiere you're less than thrilled, just hang on. It'll get going.
It will get so much better.
Okay, and that is The Gilded Age. It's streaming on Max. It streams same night as it premieres on HBO, I believe. This is one of the things that they do uniquely, is that they don't wait till the next day like some of the streaming services.
I'm not sure.
Max the same night.
I think so.
So, yeah.
Sunday nights till December 17th.
And who's the big headliner in it?
Carrie Coon plays the mom, Christina Baranski.
Christine Baranski. That's
she's
right. That's
the cranky neighbor
of.
Across the street.
She's the Maggie Smith of the American side.
Yeah, I could see that. And Cynthia Nixon is her sister. So there's a lot of people you'll recognize in this.
And that is the Gilded Age,
including
season
the guy from that played Watson in House, or what was his name, Doctor?
I don't
know. The friend
I never
of
watched House.
Oh. He's got three names, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. He plays a rector in the new season.
I don't know. Tommy Lee Jones? He has
no,
three names.
No, Scott something.
I know, I'm just messing
with you. I'll find it and let you know.
Okay, and that is the Gilded Age.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Steve, it is time for the Movie Show Top 10, but I really want to read a couple more texts really quick of people who their favorite movie to watch on Halloween night. We've got a Casper vote from 1995. Another Young Frankenstein. And here's one. Actually, I've seen a couple of these. Arsenic and Old Lace, Cary Grant.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a great one, too. Okay, so now it is time for the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services.
10, 9. The KSL Movie Show Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And Steve, I notice as I'm looking at the top 10 list, we're going to hit on another classic before we get through. But at least this week it's not Hocus Pocus. Number 10 is The Nun 2.
Look at the money this thing has made. These cost very little to make. $264 million worldwide. That's the biggest number on this entire list.
Oh, because Barbie finally dropped out of the top 10.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, and then number 9, The Blind, still hanging around, the Duck Dynasty fellas.
Yeah, it's the Robertson family story, and $16 million. Nothing overseas, though.
Yeah, that one's an American original, I think. Yeah. Number 8, A Haunting in Venice. I know I've run into people who are still going to see that one.
Yes, I'm pleased to see that. It's made $113 million worldwide. Twice as much overseas than domestic. So apparently he has a bigger following over there, and I mean Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, I was going to say, and Kenneth Branagh is Poirot, and I hope we get another one. I don't know what the status is, if they're going to keep doing it. But
I had to laugh the other day, though. I was talking to the lady that does my bread at the store.
Oh, that's right. You have a bread person.
Yeah, and she's really young, and she went to see this. She goes, oh, I didn't realize it was an Agatha Christie novel. It's almost like the kiss of death
and
for the
probably,
young kids.
And so they marketed it as a horror movie to the young kids and an Agatha Christie movie to the older.
But she actually enjoyed it, but she,
that's
with that
funny,
caveat.
That it was a put-off for him. Number 7, The Creator. Never really caught traction.
Yeah, I think they screwed this up. It should have come out at a different time. I don't know.
Sci-fi movie from
Gareth
Edwards.
They trickled it out, you know. They ruined it.
Steve really liked it. I was meh on it. But I mean, I didn't think it was bad, but it didn't really
thrill
me either.
For 91, it's made 91 worldwide, and that's not nearly.
That barely made back its budget, though. Its budget was like 80.
Oh, that's right. It was 80, but you got to double the cost for marketing.
Yeah. And then we've got the number 6, Saw 10.
Believe it or not, the sawiest Saw movie since the first.
X marks the spot, and that spot is number 6. And then number 5, here's our classic, The Nightmare Before Christmas, the 30th anniversary re-release, number 5 this week.
Which Julie's kids love, The Nightmare Before Christmas. It originally made $96 million worldwide, but this was what, back in
1993.
It's made another 5.2, so they don't have to do anything. Just throw it out there.
One of these days we'll have a text question be, is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween or a Christmas movie? And watch the texts go crazy. Okay. We're not asking that right now, by the way, but we may ask that in the future. Number 4.
That's like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Well, you get a lot of opinions on that. Mm-hmm. Very strong.
That's right.
Number 4, Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie.
Doing well. 149 worldwide. Yeah. It's doing great.
Number 3, The Exorcist Believer.
This one surprised me. Even 55 domestic, 54 foreign, 109, the most balanced movie on the page.
Debuting at number 2 in its first week, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, 28 domestic, 21 foreign, so Martin Scorsese has a big following overseas. $49 million in its opening weekend. For a 3.5-hour movie, that's miraculous.
And then number 1, no surprise for the second week in a row, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, which we finally got to see last week, too.
We did. And I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
She puts on a great show.
Yeah.
No question, a great show. And, you know, I didn't know all the songs, but I really enjoyed the ones where the people who really did enjoy the songs got up and sang them. Like, for real, it kind of felt like being a little bit at an actual concert where people are singing around you. But you could hear Taylor over all of them. So, like, however good they sang it, it didn't matter. It was just the communal experience of it all.
Number one concert movie of all time. It was actually the first weekend. It's made 132 domestic, 47 foreign, $180 million. Only cost her 15 to make this movie. Pure profit.
And you will see more concert movies guaranteed in the future.
Yeah. And she goes back on tour in early November.
In Europe.
Actually starting in South America.
Okay. I was going to say, I know it's outside the U.S. and she ends with a couple of extra U.S. dates.
Oh, does she? Oh.
Yeah, she added those. So
going to Kansas City, is she?
Doubt it. Probably right. That is the movie show top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's been a blast getting text from our listeners today, Steve, at 57500. We've asked the question, what is the movie you watch on Halloween night at your house, whether it's while you're trick-or-treating, whether it's having the Halloween party? Some people talk about they just put such and such on loop while they have everybody over.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. By the way, we do have a text. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Ha ha. So,
no argument here.
Another vote for Young
Frankenstein. Melon Farmer.
Love it.
Because he found the melon farmer. Let's see. Rear Window.
Ooh.
Here's one. I watched 1963, The Haunting. You never see what's scaring everyone. That's great cinema, really.
That is. That's smart.
My mom used to be terrified of Watcher in the Woods.
Ooh, yeah, that's
that great. Was like, I want to say, like a Disney horror movie, but it scared the tar out of her. Here's one, Evil Dead and Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the first two in that series are way more serious than the third one.
Yeah.
If you see Army of Darkness first, you go back and watch Evil Dead, and you're like, well, this isn't anything like I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, they let Bruce Campbell finally do his thing.
Let's see. Do we have any that we haven't mentioned?
The Frighteners.
The Frighteners?
Have you seen that?
No. Oh, here's one. For Halloween night, The Lady in White.
That's another one, Lady in White. That's a perfect family one.
How about the Audrey Hepburn one where she's blind?
Dark. Wait Until Dark?
Yes. Is that a good one?
Oh, yeah. Any and of those where the call's coming from inside the house.
Here's one that I'm surprised I haven't seen more texts. It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Well.
And The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, that's part of The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Oh, that
the
one.
Headless
not,
Horseman
not
cartoon.
Not the Johnny Depp one.
No, I didn't see anybody vote for the Johnny
Dark
Depp
Dark Shadows. That's the stupidest.
Ghostbusters, of course.
Ghostbusters.
That's one that if I wasn't watching Abbott and Costello, I'd probably do Ghostbusters. And then, let's see, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm.
Gotta love Tim Curry and Fishnet Stockings.
Frank Enfurter.
Well, we've got lots of text, and if that's if we haven't mentioned one that you like to watch, make sure you text us at 575.
None of the classics. No Frankenstein, no Wolfman.
Well, you can get it
Dracula.
All in one if you watch Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Oh,
I'm
my
just
gosh.
Saying.
You quit pushing that.
I like what I like, okay? All right, Steve, let's review another movie. In fact, it's time to talk about After Death.
Okay.
I think the near-death experience is where science meets religion. There is a process of dying during which I feel the near-death experience occur.
I'm looking down. There's my body, but I'm up here. I can't be dead because I've never felt more alive.
So this is from Angel Studios, the same people who make The Chosen and who made Sound of Freedom. It's called After Death. It's kind of, Steve, a mixture of documentary and a little bit of, like, dramatic interpretation of some of the people's events. So it's, I guess you could consider it a documentary. That's where I was struggling. Is this a documentary? Or I couldn't quite figure out if I would place it squarely on the documentary side. But it essentially talks to a bunch of people, authors and different people who've had near-death experiences or NDEs, where they were clinically dead. And as in the everyone knew they were dead, but they came back to life after, and then they told about what happened during that time that they were dead.
Yeah, and the thing that kind of threw me is when they go, I never heard this story before where you could see your body. I've been hearing that story for 100 years. I mean, it seems like that is the one.
Isn't that
everybody,
what they call an out-of-body experience that we've been hearing about for a lot?
Yeah, and so for them to suggest, well, I can't believe that they all had the same experience. Well, they all heard the same story.
I thought he said, I thought when you said that, I was like, I didn't get that feeling that that's what he had said. So maybe I misinterpreted. And maybe I did too. I got the feeling that he was surprised because I think the person who said it was the guy who just wanted to try to find a way, like he'd heard about these things. So he's like, all right, well, let me just see scientifically if this thing's even possible. How does this measure up? So he started taking everybody's stories, and he was surprised at how consistent some of the stories were. But maybe, you know, I'd have to rewatch that line because if I missed that, that would kind of change how I, because I'm the same way. That's all I've ever heard. Like, yeah. I was dead and I was looking down at my body and then other things may have happened, or I went through a tunnel, or I did this.
And somebody said, it's not your time yet. And yeah. You came back.
But what I thought was cool about this was, and we talked about it when we talked to director Stephen Gray, is when they started doing it, I was like, I'm curious how he's going to try to visually interpret what these people are describing, just because the people themselves say, I don't know how to describe to you what I saw, because there's not description things that you can understand. You have to see it to fully understand what I'm saying, but this is like the best I can do.
You see color, but in this case, yeah. You feel
describe
color.
Describe the color blue, Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
And so to me, I thought it was really moving. Now, granted, I come from a place of I believe in a life after death already. So for me, I was watching this as, well, let's see what they say. How does this jibe with what I currently believe? You know, I found a lot of interesting similarities to some things that I believe. But I took everybody at their word, and I felt for them. Like, they know what happened to them, or they at least know what they think happened to them. And they don't want to be told that they're crazy, because they got like the one lady whose canoe crashed over the waterfall.
Yeah.
And then she said, it wasn't like I was alive and dead or awake and then unconscious. It was like I was awake and then I was really awake. And then, you know, the things that they hear and see that aren't necessarily ways that they could hear and see it. So I think a lot of how you feel about watching after death is going to be a lot with what you take into it with you.
Well, you know, I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of agnostic about this kind of stuff. I don't know what to believe. I would love to believe in something that like that. I don't mean to get into the weeds here, but for me personally, I appreciated this movie in the way that it tried to offer ideas about everybody's experience.
Yes, although not all of them were like, I was embraced by the warm light of love. It was dark, and then I felt like I was getting sucked down somewhere, and then it was like all these dark things were like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, then there was one where the guy was like, well, I met Jesus, and he seemed cool. You know, I'm like, what? So there's I had to pull myself back a little bit, going, all right, I don't know where these people are coming from. I don't know their backgrounds and, you know, what kind of storytelling they come up with, but It was fascinating, and I know a lot of people that are going to want to see this, just for reference points, I guess.
But what I like most, and this is maybe it's kind of an Angel Studios thing, but there's a message of hope at the end. Like, you know, there was the one guy who his experience wasn't so good, especially at first. And he talks about how he felt like he met a dark spirit when he was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they included people who didn't have great after-death experience or near-death experiences, because, you know, I might have believed it less if everybody had the exact same story and nobody varied from it even in the slightest. But right. People had different experiences according to their perception. So I'm positive on this. This one was like a 3-star type movie for me. Like, I do believe a lot of people will enjoy it. I do believe it'll be moving for a lot of people. And I hope that some people find some hope if they wonder if they matter. Like, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, no, I appreciated the film, and that's probably as far as I can go.
Okay, and that is After Death. It is rated PG-13 because they described some pretty gruesome things that happened, which is why they were dead in the first place.
Yeah.
So, you know, just know that that's going to be the case going in. But, I mean, otherwise, content-wise, they don't show any of this stuff, but it's described in pretty vivid detail.
Right.
So that is After Death.
The Movie Show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
Steve, we have a couple more movies we got to talk about here on the Movie Show. Here are a couple more of our texters really, really fast who are sending us at 57500 the movie they like to watch on Halloween night. Here's a vote for Van Helsing. That's one I didn't expect to hear because I don't know a lot of people that liked that one. Silver Bullet.
Okay.
Clue. I enjoy that movie, that's so I'll never complain about that. Okay, here you go. The original Dracula. Oh, of the silent film version. They say Nostradamus, but I think they mean Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they showed on regular TV last year, and I recorded it.
By the way, the Spanish music version is the best one. They have some Spanish music over one of them.
Of Nosferatu?
Yeah.
It's weird. He's got them long fingernails. Yeah. We've also got another vote for Ghost and Mr. Chicken. There's a lot of votes for that one.
Oh, that's cute.
And then The Warriors, 1979. Warriors. Come out to play.
How about Lost Boys?
That's not on here. That should be. Here's the vote for The Burbs, Tom Hanks.
The Burbs, yeah. How about The Birds?
That would be a good one. Any Hitchcock would probably be good for Halloween night. Okay, Steve, let's review. What do you want to do, The Mission? Let's do The Mission.
Okay.
My friend John paid some pirates to go to an island to talk to people about Jesus when he knew that he had no business doing that.
John's parents brought him up to be Christian.
He was just like full of light. I had a little bit of a crush on him.
You couldn't have asked for a better young man. He reminds me of who I wanted to serve with.
Now, I didn't see this one, so tell me what you thought of The Mission.
Okay, John Cho, super dedicated kid. He, you know,
not
read
the actor, right?
No.
Different John
Cho.
Chow,
I should say.
Okay.
C-H-A-U.
Okay.
He, super Christian, read that, you know, Jesus couldn't come back until all of the people of the world had a chance to hear the gospel. So there's an island called, it's the North Sentinel Island, in a chain of islands that's just east of India, that's under the government of India. But this island is so remote, and it's only, there's a group of tribes people that live there that want no outside influence at all. So the government has agreed to protect them from anybody showing up. Well, John and some of his friends, they decide they're going to go and to this island, you know, because he felt in his heart that.
Right.
And so here's the beauty of this. His dad was saying, son, don't you think that, you know, that these people will get a chance to hear the gospel somewhere else if they don't hear it here? Trying to
right
convince
now,
his son.
You going this week kind
yeah,
of a thing.
You going there when these people are hostile towards people. I mean, to the point where they will bow and arrow you if you're not careful. It seems like a suicide mission. And then so it gets into, like, Masonic complex and all these things.
So is this a documentary that he chronicled this as he was doing it, or is this something that's looking back?
It's both. He's taking videos, pictures of himself. The things that they don't have chronicled, they do it in animation.
Okay.
In a kind of a cool animated way. But there's a lot of conversation and dad and friends that are all talking about him. So it's a heartbreaking movie, basically, because this kid is so dedicated, but it does not end well. So you've got to be careful with that. But I just thought, oh, man. How
did you like it?
Well, I was fascinated.
Did you think it was good?
I was fascinated by the idea that if you have enough faith, you will try or do anything. And that's what John exhibited here.
Okay.
So.
And what's it rated?
I don't know if it was, to be honest.
Oh, it may not be, as it is a documentary.
Mission PG-13. Sorry.
PG-13. Where's it playing?
It's only playing at the Broadway.
It's from National Geographic Film, so I'm assuming it's going to hit streaming.
It
maybe
will.
On Disney or Hulu at
some
point.
Very soon.
Very soon. Okay, and that is
The Mission.
The Mission. All right, now, we've also got a series on Apple TV+. A little bit different in tone, I'm guessing, than The Mission.
Well, here's the
Enfield
thing.
Poltergeist.
1977. There was this house in Enfield that were haunted. I mean, cops came.
Wait, this isn't a
reporters
drama.
Reporters came.
Not...
No, okay, let me set this up. So this happened in 1977. They went and recorded 200 hours of recordings of voices and knocks on the walls and everything that was going on. Now they've gone back and they've rebuilt the entire house and the interior of the house on a sound stage, and they're reproducing it But they're using the audio track from the original tapes. So anything that's going on in the room, the actors are doing the voices and stuff, but they're matching what's on the actual the audio tapes from 1977.
I'm totally confused.
Okay, so the guy goes in there and he starts hearing all these voices, and they're knocking, and there's like distinct
but
voices.
This is the story of what really happened, right?
Yes, yes.
So then what did they rebuild the thing for?
So that they could have a visual representation, because all they had was audio.
Right.
So now they wanted to go back and recreate the visuals of it.
Did
so
the person die?
I actually haven't finished it.
Oh, okay. Because it's a multi-part series, right?
Yeah, it's like a four-part series. Okay. I'm into like the two of them. It is absolutely chilling.
Ooh.
It is.
So if you're looking for something to freak you out before Halloween.
Well, especially when this guy, he is so scientific. He says, there's a scientific explanation for everything. There is no such thing.
So that's why they're trying to recreate so they can explain that it wasn't ghosts.
I haven't gotten that far.
Okay.
I think that at some point they're going to change their tune from science to I have no idea what the heck that was.
Okay.
But reporters and photographers and police heard the same stuff. So it wasn't like just somebody going, hey, you got to come over and see what and then nothing happens. Stuff happens.
Okay. And that's The Enfield Poltergeist on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a break here on The Movie Show. And when we come back, it's time for everybody's favorite telephone torture.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
And that sound means it is time to find out who's going to win an awesome prize from the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters today as we begin telephone torture. Our subject for the day, as in honor of Five Nights at Freddy's, which is based on a video game, the theme of our telephone torture questions is a movie with a video game theme. Like, video game is somehow central to this. Either video game is a part of the story, it's based on a video game, or, you know, it's based, yeah. So, like, Five Nights at Freddy's was based on the video game Five Nights at Freddy's. You know, there's a whole bunch of different choices. But we're going to ask four questions of four callers at 575-TALK, 575-8255. And if our callers get the answer correct after any of these questions, then they win an awesome prize from the Megaplex Theater, Steve, which is?
Which is two drinks, a tub of popcorn, two tickets to any film that they want to see at the Megaplex Theater.
And you know what? I forgot to text our friend Jeff Whipple to find out if there was any other additional awesome prizes to choose from.
Well, I'm sure.
But you know what?
Well,
we
the
actually
four pack
do
is
have
probably
a thing. We do have a thing.
We do.
Well, because we didn't get a chance to talk to Jeff, we're going to do a special thing for our movie show listeners today. Today. I'm going to cut you a break.
What today. Are you, NPS now?
No. Yeah, why not? It's rubbed off on me. So we're going to do this. We've got the Megaplex prize pack.
Okay.
But we also have a special prize that we're going to give to one of our texters who texts us in the correct question. Because remember, if our callers don't know the answer, we'll take the first correct text at 57500.
Okay.
So if you know it before the people on the phone, send in the text. We had a guy playing 4D chess last week. He sent in the answer, then he called in, and then he won. But he was backed up just in case. And that's a life hack right there.
That's brilliant.
But we are going to give away tickets. Now listen to this. We're going to give away tickets for a special screening of The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Okay? We're going to give this away to one of our texters regardless of whether they get telephone torture correct on the air. So that's a bonus thing. So send in the correct answer if you know it once you hear it at 57500. And we will pick one of them. Even if our telephone torture gets it right. Telephone torturer. We're the torturers. They're the torturees.
That's right.
All right. We ready for this? Who's our first caller? Torture victim. Brent, are you ready?
I am ready to go, buddy.
Kay, how well do you know movies with video game themes?
Very well, buddy.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. First question. This movie is animated, but so is the game on which it is based, and it features the voices of six former members of Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
All right, Brent, you got to give us a guess.
I can't give you a guess. I was thinking of a live-action film.
Okay, is that correct, Gustavo?
You lose.
Oh, nice try, though, Brent. Okay, who's our next caller? John, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, John. This movie's story features former enemies coming together against an even greater threat.
I'm going to say Wreck-It Ralph.
Is that correct, Gustavo? Wreck-It Ralph.
That's a no, right?
That's a no. But, John, that's a good guess. That is a good guess. And Wreck-It Ralph is a great movie. Okay, who's our next caller? Jeffrey, are you ready, Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Jeffrey, you don't sound so confident there, my friend.
Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants. Okay, well, I'm going to give you a pass there because, A, that's not based on a video game, and, B, let me at least ask the question.
Star Wars.
But I appreciate the enthusiasm. Okay. So here's the question. This movie is a sequel that is both funnier and better than the original, including a hilarious scene that I couldn't believe was in a kid's movie where the characters stacked on top of each other in a bird costume pretend to use a urinal. I'm still laughing about it even now.
I thought I knew this one. Now I'm not even sure.
No, I have no idea.
Is that correct, Gustavo? Oh, good try. I appreciate you coming on. We've had guesses coming in on the text line. Unfortunately, I have not seen any correct ones as of yet, but I do appreciate the effort. So we've got one question left for a possible winner on the phone, and then we're going to go to the text line, and it's Allie.
Mally,
are you ready?
I think I'm ready. Go ahead.
You missed last week, right?
I did.
Okay. So we've got three questions out there. Here is the fourth question. The movie is based on a mobile phone video game where pigs are the villains.
You know, I'm thinking Angry Birds.
Okay. Now, did you listen to all the clues?
I tried, yeah.
Boy.
Not Angry Birds.
Gustavo, I'm leaving it to you, the judge. Do you award a victory or no? Gustavo.
He's
afraid to make the call. Okay, I will give you the first line of the third clue. This movie is a sequel that is both funnier and better than the original.
No, you got me.
Dude.
You're halfway there. You're halfway there,
Mally. You're two-thirds the way there.
You're two-thirds of the way there.
Angry Birds go to Washington. I'm sorry. I don't know the name.
Gustavo, your call, man. He's going to give it to you. The answer
Oh, I
is,
wouldn't have given it to him.
The answer is the Angry Birds movie 2.
Dude, you didn't have to come up with all that goes to Washington.
Go 2. Angry Birds go 2. I will leave it at that.
No, but congratulations, Mally. You win our Megaplex prize pack of 2 tickets to the Megaplex, 2 drinks, and a large popcorn, which you can refill once, so it's essentially 2 popcorns is how I choose
to look
at it.
Can you teach them to do that? Can you do that?
You can really refill it once.
That was cheating.
No, it's the deal. They punch a hole in your bucket, and you get essentially 2 popcorn buckets for the price of 1.
Huh. I can't
make
it through 1.
They're like the NPS of movie theater popcorn. Well, congratulations, Mally.
Well,
We're so grateful also to our friends on the Megaplex Theaters. We do have some correct winners. Gustavo, we will only take winners who put Angry Birds 2 as their answer.
Oh, now you're getting tough.
Well, no, because we were nice once. But we will choose a winner on our text line to win the 2 tickets. It's a family 4-pack of tickets and guaranteed seats at this screening of The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes at the Megaplex Geneva up on the IMAX screen next month. And I believe it is on November 13th.
Oh, I didn't even know we were doing that.
Yeah. And so thank you all for playing Telephone
By
Torture.
By the way, the classic movie this week from Megaplex is?
Oh, it's My Fair Lady. I love it. I have enjoyed those classic series so much. As soon as I heard it from your movie show, I ran out and bought my 10 pass.
And guess what? If you don't
pass.
Have the 10 pass,
it's a buck.
It's a buck.
A
so
dollar.
Take somebody
a
with you. Take the kids to see My Fair Lady on the big screen.
Take your mom.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Well, I've got 2 tickets. I bought 2 tickets, so I don't go by myself. But though I did go one time by myself because I wasn't going to miss. So I went by myself. I loved it.
Well, have no fear. We're going to give away more 4-packs of tickets to the Hunger Games Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes to be screened on Monday, November 13th at the Megaplex Geneva on the IMAX screen. So we'll give you other chances to win. Congratulations to Molly for winning the Megaplex pack, and congratulations to whoever's going to end up winning from our text line the
winners everywhere.
Yeah, we're just feeling generous today.
Sure.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
No, have you, Doctor? As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
Our final segment of The Movie Show, Steve. It is time for rapid fire. Before we do that, just a couple more on our text line, 57500. The movie you watch Halloween night, Hocus Pocus seems to be the consensus winner, but Young Frankenstein's probably second on the list. And, of course, that's Igor's favorite because, you know, because there's an Igor in it. And it's been fun. We've had a lot of people that have enjoyed the game today. Goonies is a list.
Ooh, Goonies. Yeah, that's great.
It's got some scary moments. All right, so Rapid Fire is the segment where we recap everything that we've talked about to all the different movies and streaming shows on The Movie Show today. We also remind you, if you missed part of The Movie Show, you want to hear the whole thing because, my goodness, it's a fun...
Why not?
It's a fun 3 hours every week. You can go to kslnewsradio.com and find The Movie Show podcast. You can go to kslpodcasts.com. We fixed Apple Podcasts, so we are now back on Apple Podcasts.
Dee Wright was mad because she says, I can't listen to the show on Apple. We fixed it.
Oh,
and then
good.
We're also on Spotify. So anywhere you get a podcast, you can listen to The Movie Show if you miss. Of course, it's always way better to listen to it live. You can't win. You can't win telephone torture if you're listening to the podcast.
You won't hear the screw-ups if you don't listen.
Well, that's true, too. All right, here we go. Rapid fire, Steve. The big movie of the week, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Not for me, but for the screaming teenagers that were at the same screening, they loved it.
For me, it was, I don't really like that kind of movie, but it was far more enjoyable to watch it in a room full of people than it would have been to watch by myself.
Absolutely. The kids made it fun.
Freelance, the John Cena, Alison Brie movie that got zero marketing and...
It has 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
Oh, my.
Yeah, zero.
All right, so there you go.
No, I liked it better than that. It's a C.
Steve liked it better than 0%.
Yes.
Again, right on the movie poster. After Death, the Angel Studios movie about people who've had near-death experiences. I think I liked it, or it connected with me maybe a little more than it did with you. But
I thought it was fascinating, though, still.
But it has a great message, and I think it's worth your time and money. And then we have The Mission, which is...
That's a heartbreaker. A kid that believes in Jesus so much that he goes to an island that does not allow people to go there, and it doesn't go well.
Yes, and I think that's part of the point as far as why they tell the story. Then we've got on Netflix Pain Hustlers, a movie.
You got Emily Blunt, you got Chris Evans and Andy Garcia in a movie that's really the tone shifts, make a lot of money selling opioids, but then you realize it's killing people. Do your conscience step in? And some of these people, it didn't, and that bugged me.
And it's got great acting. It's an interesting story, but I didn't know who to root for, and at the end, I felt like I shouldn't have rooted for any of them, but they tried hard to make me root for some of them, and so I just felt really conflicted by the end of it.
Yeah, the tone shift was hard.
We've got the documentary Milli Vanilli on Paramount Plus, which, for better or worse, it's my pick of the week, is Milli Vanilli on Paramount Plus. You do not know the story, and it's if you were alive at all during Milli Vanilli and had heard of them at all, it's worth watching.
All right.
We've got The Gilded Age, Season 2, beginning Sunday on HBO.
It's pretty good. I mean, if you like those upper-crust people, you know, going around, you know. I love those movie or shows like Downton Abbey. This is the American version of that, and they're a little more brutal.
We've got The Enfield Poltergeist on Apple TV+.
I haven't finished it yet, but it's haunting me, and it will probably haunt it. The way they've set it up, new visuals on old audio tapes, and how they've put them together is kind of creepy.
Well, you lost me at Poltergeist. I'm out.
Yeah.
And then Curses, a streaming series on Apple TV+, which is from DreamWorks Animation, 10 half-hour kid-friendly episodes. A family who's cursed, and the dad's been turned to stone, and the kids will be turned to stone if they can't figure out how to reverse the curse. And what they figure they got to do is give back
stolen
artifacts
that
their ancestor looted from different parts of the world.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
And then we didn't have time to go into more detail, but we got Lego Marvel Avengers Code Red, which dropped on Disney Plus today, which is a cute little
Is
half
Code
hour.
Red a reference to the
I actually
a
haven't
few good men.
Seen it yet, but I doubt that it's a reference to
I
a
bet
few
it would be.
Men.
Code Red?
Oh, I doubt that. And then we have an animated film that neither of us got to see, Inspector Sun, which is about a Poro-like spider.
A
I
friend
guess.
Of ours who has seen it, he looked at me and rolled his eyes like, oh, you don't want to see it. So, good luck.
And then a scary movie called Suitable Flesh, do we know?
Oh, it's got Graham, Heather Graham.
Heather Graham. Oh, that's the one. Okay. Yeah.
It's a
She's
slasher.
She's like a crazy psychotic therapist or something like that, maybe.
She does good knife work. Maybe better than Britney Spears.
Well, that is rapid fire here. It's excellent hand gestures. I'm really impressed. Thank you, Steve Sales. Great show.
Good
Our
job.
Friend Gustavo
Love you
back
guys.
At the studio.
Thank you so much.
And all of you for listening to The Movie Show on KSL News Radio.